Best worst case scenario podcast.
He was up there being all furry and green. I pulled him down for you guys, just for you guys, for this Christmas special.
You make me sound like I'm an elf that's supposed to perform for everybody. And
he
then
is.
You throw me back into the fucking jail cell you got down in the basement.
Well, you are. You're actually doing this whole podcast by yourself, Dana. This is a good time to introduce ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
I'm your host, Mayan.
And I'm your host, Dana.
And we're here to take you guys on a sleigh ride through the wintry snow of this Christmas season.
Sleigh ride's gonna be bumpy as hell.
Yeah, because Dana's driving and he don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I got it up.
I'm glad.
I've been having issues lately.
Getting it up? Tell us more,
sort of,
Dana.
Like getting into the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, it's just floppy and you're not ready.
I don't feel like I'm full of the holiday spirit right now. But maybe by the time
you take that Viagra,
by the time we get through this story, it will be my holiday Viagra.
Yeah.
And I'll just be
guys. If I could wish
ready for Christmas,
if I could wish for one thing, it's that you guys, our listeners, come together and you make Dana in his grinchiness become a holiday cheermeister. Get him a sweater, get him lots of pudding. Anyways, this episode is a very special one, not just because it's Christmas, but Dana and I read,
Mayan just read it by himself and I did nothing.
Yes, but I read A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. It was published in December 19th of 1843.
December 19th, 1843?
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize if my voice is extra sexy tonight because I am recovering from a cold, so...
He's full of it.
If you get hot and heavy, I'm sorry. It's just the effect.
Yeah, you should just stay sick.
I wish, man. But before we actually jump right into this, I do just want to say, guys, if you really like our podcast, consider checking out our Patreon, where you can become a member and help support the Santa Factory produce these magic things that entertain your ears.
Or if you're listening on Spotify or YouTube, it helps if you rate the show or like it, share it with your friends. It could be a nice little free Christmas gift to some people.
And stalk us on Instagram if you like. We're at BWCS Podcast, and you can see all of the funny shenanigans.
Nudie photos of mine.
No, mostly Dana. But yeah, you can check us out there. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, allow us to retell you A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens.
Once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. It was cold, bleak, biting weather, foggy withal, and he could hear the people in the court outside go wheezing up and down, beating their hands upon their breasts, and stamping their feet upon the pavement stones to warm them. The city clocks had only just gone 3, but it was quite dark already. It had not been light all day, and candles were flaring in the windows of the neighboring offices, like ruddy smears upon the palpable brown air. The fog came pouring in at every chink and keyhole, and was so dense without that although the court was of the narrowest, the houses opposite were mere phantoms.
So there they are. In the counting house, it's cold outside. The windows are fogged up. And
because he doesn't use any heat.
Right. Bob Cratchit's over there freezing his ass off, trying to write perfect handwriting.
His fingers are numb.
And Scrooge won't even give him more coal for the fire because he's such a penny pincher.
Yeah, and he's this old fuck, too, who, like, he's gonna die with his wealth. So, like, why is he being so greedy with his money?
I'm not sure how old he is at this point, but you're right. He's like at least 65. And I pulled that number out
65,
of my ass.
65, no.
Yeah, it feels right.
If you look at some of those movies, he looks like he's at least 80.
He could be as old as you want him to be.
The way he walks, he's 80. Maybe it's all the years of stress.
And being a dick. So there they are in the counting house. And what happens is someone comes in.
Ho, ho, ho.
He's just met by this annoyingly happy guy who's like, "Uncle, it's time to have Christmas dinner at my house tomorrow. I am here to invite you for the 13th time to come dine with us. Won't you, Uncle?"
Fuck you. I don't know who you are. Please get off of my premises. Good afternoon.
Which means fuck you in the old days.
So he pretty much denies his nephew. He's like, "You know what? Christmas sucks. You suck. This whole town sucks."
It's the biggest diss. Like, I'd rather spend it alone in my house by myself than with you or your family.
Not even like a nice, like, "Sorry, I can't make it." He's just like, "No, I don't believe in Christmas. Christmas sucks."
Humbug.
So his nephew leaves a little bit sadder than he came in.
But not that much sad. Like, that guy had a lot of spirit.
He does.
He didn't let him break it.
Ho, ho, ho.
Regardless, someone comes in right after, and it is the charity people. And they say, "Scrooge, won't you donate to the hungry and the cold and the unfortunate this winter?" And he pretty much slams the door in their face, and he's like, "Nope, not a penny.
Not a penny to spare."
And so they leave, and then finally 4 o'clock hits, and he's like, "Okay, Bob Cratchit, you can get the fuck out of here."
"Bob Cratchit, get the fuck out of here before I get a hatchet and fuck you up."
So Bob Cratchit leaves, and Scrooge,
for Axia,
he bundles up, he puts his top hat on,
he's turning Asian,
and he gets his cane, and he starts making his way through the dark night. It's
his
dark.
His name is Scrooge.
He makes his way to his house. It's a really dark night.
This is in Tokyo.
If I didn't mention this already...
Tiny Kim.
This is downtown London, okay. Not Tokyo.
Damn.
Not there, although that would be a cool adaptation.
Could you imagine how tiny Kim, Kim would have to be tiny in Tokyo?
Oh my god. So he goes to his house. It's so dark out, he can't even see around him. He's just feeling blindly through the dark.
Yeah, he's good at feeling around.
And
you know what I mean.
His mansion is giant, and so he walks up to the front door, and the knocker is suddenly the face of Marley, his deceased business partner.
I thought they were in the shape of his ex-wife's boobs.
No, they weren't literal knockers.
Oh, okay.
It's a door knocker.
Wouldn't that be sweet, though, to have on your mansion? Like, boob knockers.
You know, I don't know anymore, Dana. But he sees Marley's face. And his face is oddly calm, just like it was in life. And he sees his hair blowing as if some hot wind is being blown around
as
Marley's
if it's
face.
A L'Oreal commercial. It's like,
oh. Or he's in a hot, miserable place.
In a hotbed of ghosts.
And that only lasts a second.
Dicks.
It only lasts a second. And then Scrooge is like, he looks back and it's the knocker. And he's like,
"Probably just a potato."
So he walks in, and even though he's like super logical, he checks out the house nonetheless because he's feeling weird. He starts a small fire. He gets into his nightcap and his dressing gown because grown men used to wear those.
And it took him like half an hour because he's got so many clothes on. Because this is what year is this?
I don't think it specifies, but I would guess
like
around...
the 1700s?
No. No, 1800s. This would probably be around like the 1830s.
The book was written in 1843.
Yeah, 1840s. So he starts this fire, he gets into his nightgown and his little slippers, and he starts making some gruel, which, if you don't know what gruel is, it's a thin, runny food made by boiling like a cereal.
Looks like snot, tastes like that. Am I
like
right?
Like cereal or like oats or cornmeal or even wheat, rye, or rice. And while he's sitting there eating his gruel, a bell begins to ring. and it's a little bell hanging on his doorway. And then all of a sudden it stops. And right after that is the sound of a heavy chain being dragged below. The noise comes up the stairs and without hesitation passes right through the door. And in the form of a glowing phantom luminescence, he sees the deceased figure of his old business partner, Jacob Marley.
The chain he drew was clasped about his middle. It was long and wound about him like a tail, and it was made, for Scrooge observed closely, of cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers, deeds, and heavy purses wrought in steel. His body was transparent, so that Scrooge, observing him and looking through his waistcoat, could see the two buttons on his coat behind.
How now? What do you want with me?
Much.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
All right, who were you then?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley. You don't believe me?
I don't.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. You may be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more of gravy than of grave about you, whatever you are.
At this, the spirit raised a frightful cry and shook its chain with such a dismal and appalling noise that Scrooge held on tight to his chair to save himself from falling in a swoon.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you? Or would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was full as heavy and as long as this, 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it. It is a ponderous chain.
Jacob, old Jacob Marley, speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I have none to give. Hear me. My time is nearly gone.
I will, but don't be hard upon me. Don't be flowered, Jacob, pray.
I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate. A chance and hope of my procuring Ebenezer.
You were always a good friend to me, I thank ye.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits.
I think I'd rather not.
Expect the first tomorrow, when the bell tolls 1.
Couldn't I take 'em all at once and have it over, Jacob?
Expect the second on the next night at the same hour. The third upon the next night when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate.
So Marley tells him that.
And that's when Scrooge has to change his pants. Because yeah. He pooped all over himself.
Because that gruel, yeah.
the undigested Jacob Marley potato and tomato combo.
And Scrooge, he's understandably confused at this point.
And being from the emotion he had undergone, or the fatigue of the day, or his glimpse of the invisible world, or the dull conversation of the ghost, or the lateness of the hour, much in need of repose, went straight to bed without undressing, and fell asleep upon the instant.
Scrooge wakes up in the dark, and he hears the church bell chime midnight. But the strange thing is, he went to sleep at 2 a.m. the previous night, so he can't figure out how he slept 22 hours. It's like Pineapple Express.
So if you went to bed at like 10 p.m. and then you woke up and it said
8 p.m.
8 p.m.
That would be 22 hours.
You'd feel like you were dreaming.
Yeah. So he's trying to piece that together. And so he lays in bed for an hour.
What was in that potato?
And then the bell chimes 1 a.m. and his curtains are ripped back. The figure was a child, but also like an old man.
Its hair, which hung about its neck and down its back, was white, as if with age. And yet the face had not a wrinkle in it, and the tenderest bloom was on the skin. The arms were very long and muscular. The hands the same, as if its hold were of uncommon strength. It wore a tunic of the purest white, and round its waist was bound a lustrous belt, the sheen of which was beautiful.
Are you the spirit, sir, whose coming was foretold to me?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past. Rise and walk with me.
Scrooge doesn't want to go because it's cold.
Scrooged.
He's cold. He's in his slippers and
nightgown. When isn't he cold?
It is December.
No, he doesn't use heat.
But the ghost.
He eats cold soup.
But the ghost, with its little child grip, forces him to accompany it because it's really strong, apparently.
Because it grabs him by his balls. As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road with fields on either hand. The city had entirely vanished. Not a vestige of it was to be seen. The darkness and the mist had vanished with it, for it was a clear, cold winter day with snow upon the ground.
It's like a picturesque winter wonderland.
But fucked.
And as soon as they get there, as soon as the spirit brings them there, Scrooge recognizes this as the village he grew up in.
Yeah, he's forced into a scene where he gets like a wet willy and a wedgie by the bullies. And he has to relive it.
Not quite.
Over and over, it shows him.
He sees all the familiar boys' faces as they play together. But he's not there with the other boys.
Oh, he's not?
No.
He's just a ghost?
He's just a ghost looking at what those kids are doing. But they can't see him.
Because if they did, they would give him a wet willy and a wedgie.
Something like that. So the ghost takes him to his childhood home.
They went, the ghost and Scrooge, across the hall to a door at the back of the house. It opened before them and disclosed a long, bare, melancholy room, made bare still by lines of plain deal forms and desks. At one of these, a lonely boy was reading near a feeble fire, and Scrooge sat down upon a form and wept to see his poor forgotten self as he used to be.
I wish.
What is the matter?
nothing. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should like to have given him something, that's all.
Let us see another Christmas.
Although they had but that moment left the school behind them, they were now in the busy thoroughfares of a city where shadowy passengers passed and repassed, where shadowy carts and coaches battled for the way, and all the strife and tumult of a real city were. It was made plain enough by the dressing of the shops that here too it was Christmas time again. But it was evening and the streetlights were lighted up. They go into a warehouse where Scrooge is apprenticed and find a rather large man named Fezziwig. It's a real name.
Who's about to commit suicide because of his name.
It's Christmas Eve, and they're throwing a wild party with lots of food and dancing.
And drugs and booze.
The place was packed to the brim with people. And just as Scrooge is starting to crack under the joy he's remembering, the spirit whisks him away yet again. This time, to an older version of himself.
When he was 500 pounds.
The lines of age and wear have begun to show on his face, and beside him is a woman in mourning. And the woman in mourning next to him says this.
The memory of what is past half makes me hope you will have pain in this a very, very brief time, and you will dismiss the recollection of it gladly, as an unprofitable dream from which it happened well that you awoke. May you be happy in the life you have chosen.
From the sayings of Muad'Dib.
And Scrooge is, he's watching all this happen, pretty uncomfortable, but it's around this time that a wave of irresistible drowsiness comes over him. And being only vaguely aware he's in his bedroom, drifts off into a deep slumber.
Awaking in the middle of a prodigiously tough snore, and sitting up in bed to get his thoughts together, Scrooge had no occasion to be told that the bell was again upon the stroke of one. Now, being prepared for almost anything, he was not by any means prepared for nothing. And consequently, when the bell struck one, and in no shape appeared, he was taken with a violent fit of trembling. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a quarter of an hour went by, yet nothing came.
So, he's sitting there, nothing's happening, and then a dazzling light fills the room around him. At first he has no idea what it is, but then he realizes it's coming from a neighboring room. So he gets up in his slippers and nightgown and he shuffles on over. And then he hears a booming voice say,
"Come in and know me better, man."
He walks inside the room. The walls and ceiling were so hung with living green that it looked a perfect grove, from every part of which bright gleaming berries glistened. The crisp leaves of holly, mistletoe, and ivy reflected back the light as if so many little mirrors had been scattered there. And such a mighty blaze went roaring up the chimney as that dull petrification of a hearth had never known in Scrooge's time or Marley's, or for many and many a winter season gone. Heaped up on the floor to form a kind of throne were turkeys, geese, game, poultry, brawn, great joints of meat, sucking pigs, long wreaths of sausages, mince pies, plum puddings, barrels of oysters, red-hot chestnuts, cherry-cheeked apples, juicy oranges, luscious pears, immense 12th cakes and seething bowls of punch.
This guy's a fat ass.
That made the chamber dim with their delicious steam. In easy state upon this couch, there sat a jolly giant, glorious to see, who bore a glowing torch and held it up high to shed its light on Scrooge.
I am the ghost of Christmas presents. Look upon me. You have never seen the like of me before.
Never, spirit. Conduct me where you will. I went forth last night on compulsion, and I learnt a lesson which is working now. Tonight, if you have aught to teach me, let me profit by it.
Touch my robe.
And as soon as Scrooge touches the giant's robe,
it's a metaphor.
Their surroundings vanish.
They stood in the city streets on Christmas morning. The house fronts looked black enough, and the windows blacker, contrasting with the smooth white sheet of snow upon the roofs, and with the dirtier snow upon the ground. The sky was gloomy, and the shortest streets were choked up with the dingy mist, half thawed, half frozen, whose heavier particles descended in a shower of sooty atoms, as if all the chimneys in Great Britain had, by one consent, caught fire, and were blazing away to their dear heart's content.
Doesn't that just paint such a nice image to you? Just a dirty-ass London.
Yeah, and my vocabulary is growing quite a bit. Like, I'm reading words I've never read.
This is how I make Dana learn things.
Read a book, man.
Yeah.
I don't read books.
It's so good for the boy. And so Scrooge and the Ghosts of Christmas Present pay a visit to Bob Cratchit and his giant family, including Mrs. Cratchit and Tiny Tim. They were not a handsome family. They were not well-dressed. Their shoes were far from being waterproof.
Is this a Cratchit roast?
Their clothes were scanty. But they were happy, grateful, pleased with one another.
And the Weasleys.
And contented with the time. And when they faded and looked happier yet in the bright sprinklings of the spirit's torch at parting, Scrooge had his eye upon them, and especially on Tiny Tim, until the last.
By this time, it was getting dark and snowing pretty heavily, and as Scrooge and the spirit went along the streets, the brightness of the roaring fires in kitchens, parlors, and all sorts of rooms was wonderful. Here, the flickering of the blaze showed preparations for a cozy dinner, with hot plates baking through and through before the fire, and deep red curtains ready to shut out cold and darkness.
They're just walking along at Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and they're seeing all these gatherings. And at the Cratchits one, I just got to say that they heard the family pretty much roasting Scrooge. Cratchit was like, hey, this goose, thanks to Scrooge. And his wife, Mrs. Cratchit, she's like, that man is a terrible man, and he is just the worst. And we will not speak of him at this table.
No, we won't. We will not.
And he's like,
we ladies don't like him.
And so it creates this tension, and Scrooge gets to witness the effect that he has on people to kind of just like destroy the Christmas spirit just by bringing up his name.
Just Cratchit sounds like a disease you get from intercourse.
Leave Cratchit alone. And Tiny Tim, who... we gotta say, if you guys don't know, Tiny Tim is Bob Cratchit's little son, and he has something wrong with his legs.
Tim Cratchit?
Yeah.
I don't know. That just doesn't ring. Bob Cratchit does. Tim Cratchit.
Well, Tiny Tim Cratchit.
That's why I had to die.
Hey, let's not go there yet.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Well, not even
from this 200-year-old story.
Dana's just gaslighting you guys. Yeah. So Tiny Tim is like the cutest, just nicest little boy, and he's like, God bless everyone, and just a nice kid. But he's got this disease, and his family's struggling to keep him alive.
Yeah, he listens to Disturbed with the Sickness. Down with the Sickness by Disturbed every day.
So, after walking around, they then go to Scrooge's nephew's mansion, where they're having a wonderful time and they're talking about Scrooge, and they're like,
what a piece of shit.
Well, they're playing a charades
game. How should we kill this guy?
They're playing a charades game.
Ultimate wedgie.
And they're like, honestly, you probably just push him over, break his hips. But
why didn't they?
I don't know.
Because they weren't in the will.
They're good people.
They're man. Waiting
Not
to
everyone's
get...
murderers.
That's why they invited him over for Christmas dinner, because they wanted to get on his will.
Yeah, it's like Knives Out. Exactly. So at the dinner, they're playing a charades game, and they're like, what am I? And they're asking questions, and they're like, are you a beast? Yes. Are you a terrible, frightful beast? Yes. Are you, do you talk? Sometimes, you know.
Are you Scrooge?
Eventually, someone's like, oh, I got it. It's your Uncle Scrooge.
Oh, no.
He's the Beast of London. And so they're all like laughing.
Scrooge is worse than a demon, pretty much, is what they're having fun with.
Yeah. They're all just laughing at him. And this is tough for Scrooge to take.
Because he sees it.
Yeah.
It happened.
He's a fly on the wall.
This is a present.
Yeah. Christmas present.
So he's seeing what's going on right next to him.
But it actually ends up being the ghost of Christmas future, because this hasn't happened yet. But anyways, so they stay till the end of that. And then it's getting late, and Scrooge turns to the spirit, and he realizes it's changing.
It was a long night, if it were only a night. But Scrooge had his doubts of this, because the Christmas holidays appeared to be condensed into the space of time they passed together. It was strange, too, that while Scrooge remained unaltered in his outward form, the ghost grew older, clearly older.
Are spirits' lives so short?
My life upon this globe is very brief. It ends tonight at midnight. Hark! The time is drawing near.
The bell struck 12. Scrooge looked about him for the ghost, and saw not. As the last stroke ceased to vibrate, he remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and lifting up his eyes, beheld a solemn phantom, draped and hooded, coming like a mist along the ground towards him.
The phantom slowly, gravely, silently approached. When it came near him, Scrooge bent down upon his knee. For in that very air through which the spirit moved, it seemed to scatter gloom and mystery.
Am I in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come?
The spirit answered not, but pointed onward with its hand.
You are about to show me shadows of the things that have not happened, but will happen in the time before us. Is that so, spirit?
The upper portion of the garment was contracted for an instant in its folds, as if the spirit had inclined its head. That was the only answer he received.
Ghost of the future, I fear you more than any other specter I have seen, but as I know your purpose is to do me good, as I hope to live to be another man, from what I was, I am prepared to bear you company, and do it with a thankful heart. Will you not speak to me?
It gave him no reply. The hand was pointed straight before them.
So they walked through the city, and they see people hurrying up and down the streets.
They see these five guys giving 80-year-old Scrooge a wedgie.
The spirit stops Scrooge next to a small group of merchants talking, people that Scrooge used to know.
I don't know much about it. Either way, I know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
Why? What was the matter with him? I thought he'd never die.
God knows.
What has he done with his money?
I haven't heard. Left to his company, perhaps. He hasn't left it to me, that's all I know.
It's likely to be a very cheap funeral, it is. For upon my life, I don't know of anybody to go to it. Suppose we make up a party and volunteer?
Well, I come to think of it, I'm not at all sure that I wasn't his most particular friend, for we used to stop and speak whenever we met.
And after this exchange,
we should give him a wedge.
The ghost of Christmas yet to come leads Scrooge further into the bleak underside of the city.
The ways were foul and narrow. The shops and houses wretched. The people half-naked, drunken, slipshod, ugly. Alleys and archways, like so many cesspools, disgorged their offenses of smell and dirt and life upon the struggling streets, and the whole quarter reeked with crime, with filth and misery. Far in this den of infamous resort, there was a low-browed, beetling shop below a penthouse roof where iron old rags, bottles, bones, and greasy offal were brought.
So, pretty much the ghost takes him to a thieves' den, or a thieves' fence, which is like where they buy and sell stolen goods. It's like the most shady part of London at this point.
Where you'd likely get a wedge.
It's a poopy pawn shop, you know. Three people there meet, each carrying things they've nicked from someone. But once they... Why are you laughing at me saying nicked? Come on, man. I'm in character.
Nickers.
But once they recognize each other, they all start laughing.
There ain't such a rusty bit of metal in the place as its own hinges, I believe. And I'm sure there's no such old bones here as mine. We're all suitable to our calling. What odds then? What odds, Miss Dilver?
Every person has a right to take care of themselves. He always did.
That's true indeed. No man more so.
Who's the worse for the loss of a few things like these? Not a dead man, I suppose.
Indeed, if he wanted to keep them after he was dead. Wicked old screw, why wasn't he natural in his lifetime? If he had been, he'd have somebody to look after him when he was struck with death, instead of lying gasping out his last there alone by himself.
This is the end of it, you see. He frightened everyone away from him when he was alive, to profit us when he was dead.
Scrooge hears this. He's getting tired of hearing people roast him. And I think
this is like the Joker with Joaquin.
Yeah. He doesn't know exactly that they're talking about. Actually, he does know they're talking about him because he recognizes the shit they've stolen from him. Pretty much, he's super uncomfortable hearing them talk about him, like just the old fart that he is, just the old wanker, you know? So he begs the spirit to take him away from that place.
He hates it.
The spirit obliges, but where it takes him is much worse.
The room was very dark, too dark to be observed with any accuracy. Though Scrooge glanced around in obedience to a secret impulse, anxious to know what kind of room it was. A pale light, rising in the outer air, fell straight upon the bed, and on it, plundered and bereft, unwatched, unwept, uncared for, was the body of this man.
Scrooge stares at it, paralyzed at the body on the bed, covered with a thin sheet. He longs to unveil the face there, but can't bring himself to do it. He hears a voice, not his own, but inside his head nonetheless, and it speaks these words.
Oh, cold, cold, rigid, dreadful death, set up thine altar here, and dress it with such terrors as thou hast at thy command, for this is thy dominion. But of the loved, revered, and honored head, thou canst not turn one hair to thy dread purposes, or make one feature odious. It is not that the hand is heavy and will fall down when released. It is not that the heart and pulse are still, but that the hand was open, generous and true. The heart's brave, warm and tender. And the pulse, a man's. Strike, shadow, strike, and see his good deeds springing from the wound to sow the world with life immortal.
Spirit, this is a fearful place. In leaving it, I shall not leave its lesson. Let us go. If there is any person in the town who feels emotion caused by this man's death, show that person to me, Spirit, I beseech you.
The ghost then takes Scrooge to the Cratchit's house to find Bob sitting quietly at the table surrounded by his family.
I wish you could have gone. Would have done you good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him that I would walk there on Sunday, my little, little child. But however and whenever we part from one another, I am sure we shall none of us forget poor Tiny Tim, shall we? Or this first parting that there was among us. And I know, my dears, that when we recollect how patient and how mild he was, although he was a little, little child, we shall not quarrel easily among ourselves and forget poor Tiny Tim in doing it.
So while Ebenezer, sorry if that really made you sad, but yeah. While Ebenezer is wrestling with what he's learning about Tiny Tim,
yeah, he hates his life.
The spirit takes him to a churchyard.
Here, then, the wretched man whose name he had now to learn lay underneath the ground. It was a worthy place, walled in by houses, overrun by grass and weeds, the growth of vegetation's death and not life, choked up with too much burying, fat with repleted appetite. A worthy place. The spirit stood among the graves and pointed down to one. He advanced towards it, trembling.
Spirit, before I draw near to the stone to which you point, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or are they the shadows of things that may be only? Men's courses will overshadow certain ends to which, if persevered in, they must lead. But if the courses be departed from, the ends will change. Say it is thus with what you show me.
The spirit was immovable as ever. Scrooge crept towards it, trembling as he went, and following the finger read upon the stone of the neglected grave, his own name, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Spirit, hear me. I am not the man I was. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach.
Scrooge, in desperation, grabs the ghost's robe, pulling at it. In one final prayer to have salvation, Scrooge watches the phantom's robes shrink and collapse down into a bedpost. He comes back to his room, alive, and best and happiest of all. The time lies before him to make amends in. He runs around joyfully with Christmas in his heart.
Oh, Jacob Marley, heaven and the Christmas time be praised for this. I say it on my knees, old Jacob, on my knees. I am as light as a feather. I am as happy as an angel. I am as merry as a schoolboy. I am as giddy as a drunken man. A merry Christmas to everybody.
a happy new year to all the world.
Running to the window, he opened it and put out his head. No fog, no mist. Clear, bright, jovial, stirring, cold. Cold, piping for the blood to dance to. Golden sunlight, heavenly sky, sweet, fresh air, merry bells. Oh, glorious, glorious!
What's today, my fine fellow?
Today? Why, Christmas Day.
It's Christmas Day. I haven't missed it. Do you know the poulterers in the next street but one at the corner?
I should hope I did.
An intelligent boy, a remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging up there?
What? The one as big as me? It's hanging there now.
Go and buy it then, and tell him to bring it here. Come back with the man, and I'll give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes, and I'll give you half a crown.
So Scrooge is feeling himself.
He's feeling himself,
as you might say,
in his pants.
Very
he's, hard.
He's
for,
happy.
He's hard for the first time in like 30 years, because he's got joy again.
Yeah. And Scrooge continues on his generosity rampage. He buys the goose.
Generosity rampage.
Yeah. Goes postal. He sends it to the Cratchit's house. The goose he just bought. He meets the...
Sounds like the Cratchits all have crabs, man.
Jesus, man. Leave Cratchits alone. They got it hard enough.
That's what she said.
He donates a shit ton to the charity that he slammed the door on earlier. He crashes his nephew's Christmas party. But perhaps the greatest of all may be the following day at the office.
He was early at the office next morning. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late. That was the thing he had set his heart upon. And he did it, yes, he did. The clock struck 9. No Bob. 1:15. No Bob. He was full 18 minutes and a half behind his time. Scrooge sat with his door wide open, that he might see him come into the tank. His hat was off before he opened the door. His comforter, too. He was on his stool in a jiffy, driving away with his pen, as if he were trying to overtake 9 o'clock.
Hello, what do you mean by coming here at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time.
You are, yes, I think you are. Step this way, sir, if you please.
It's only once a year, sir. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
Now I'll tell you what, my friend. I am not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, I am going to raise your salary. A Merry Christmas, Bob. A Merrier Christmas, Bob, my good fellow, than I have given you for many a year. I'll raise your salary and endeavor to assist your struggling family, and we will discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all, and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh, and little heeded them, for he was wise enough to know that nothing ever happened on this globe for good, at which some people did not have their fill of laughter in the outset.
and knowing that such as these would be blind anyway, he thought it quite as well that they should wrinkle up their eyes in grins, as have the malady in less attractive forms. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. He had no further intercourse with spirits, but lived upon the total abstinence principle ever afterwards. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, and of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone!
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the story of Scrooge.
It's a Christmas carol.
Yeah, and so you listeners, you know we make jokes and stuff, but I sincerely hope that you take this holiday season to be around those people you love, because they might not be there forever. So,
yeah, in the end, all you have is family or the close friends that you do have if you don't have family.
And fig pudding.
Fig pudding. Yes. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. This was a lot of fun to make. Yeah. We enjoy this.
We enjoy it so much.
We do.
That's why we do it once a month.
I think we have more fun than you guys listening, but
we have fun with the voices.
Yeah. But from my end, I just want to thank you guys for sticking around. We hope you have a happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Have yourself a very Merry Christmas.
And to all, a good night.